Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture today is from Luke 13:31-35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord."
Thank you, Hope. I want to remind you that during Lent, we're doing an affirmation of faith following the sermon, and we've invited folks who generally worship with us online to record those at home so that we can see their faces and hear from them, and so that will be right after the sermon. I also meant to say a welcome to Les, my partner, who is here today. Yeah, I know some of you have met her before. She's slowly making her way to the West Coast, so... welcome. Are there any other introductions or special welcomes or that I missed? No. We're glad to be together. So our scripture reading for today shows us two sides of Jesus, two different aspects of his divine human persona, all in one short encounter. He's been teaching among the people when some of the Pharisees came to him to warn him that Herod was out to kill him. Now, some of us might already be getting hung up at this point of the passage, and for good reason. You might recall that the Pharisees throughout the Gospels were not traditionally friends of Jesus. In fact, quite the opposite. They were the religious leaders who frequently tried to discredit Jesus, to trip him up. There are some who argue that in Luke's Gospel, Jesus has a more amiable relationship with the Pharisees, so it's altogether possible that these were well-meaning folks who really wanted to warn Jesus of impending danger. While others assert that this is just another thinly veiled attempt to rattle Jesus. And honestly, it's impossible for us to know for sure the motivations of those who approached him on that day. But these Pharisees warned Jesus that Herod, ruler of that territory, was out to kill him. And truly, Jesus would have had good reason to be rattled in response to that news. Herod was trouble. He had already executed John the Baptist, and he was not reluctant to shed blood. But Jesus' first response to all of this was to kick into a kind of feisty, don't mess around with me gear, saying, "Tell that," you remember what it was? "Tell that fox, I am busy being Jesus, doing all of my Jesus-appointed things. I've got business to be about, and nothing and no one is going to deter me." If ever there was a moment I could see Jesus whipping out his superhero cape and crossing his arms defiantly in front of his chest, this would be it. "Go tell that fox to bug off. Take that, Herod." And of course, Jesus was angry. in every appropriate and righteous kind of way. He had a good reason to be angry. The prophets had come to help the people. He was there to rescue, to save. Yet again and again, people had silenced, had killed the ones who were sent to help them. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." And it's here that the image of Jesus as feisty superhero pivots, and all that anger dissolves into grief as Jesus describes himself as being like a mother hen. Full of anguish, Jesus said, "How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. How I wanted to help you," he said, "how I wanted to protect you, how I wanted to shelter you, and you were not willing." And I want to pause for a moment and reflect on this image of Jesus as a mothering bird. It's not at all surprising in that it's an image that has strong roots in Scripture. We find it in a variety of different places, but especially in the Psalms. For example, from Psalm 17, "Guard me as the apple of the eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings." From Psalm 57, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I take refuge until the destroying storms pass by." And from Psalm 91, "He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge." But as prevalent of a biblical image as it is, it's not necessarily the most logical one. Because up against any fox, a bird, a hen, no matter how feisty, is going to lose. Why not say, "How I wanted to protect you like a roaring lioness or a mama bear or even a soaring eagle"? But for whatever reason, Jesus didn't. He compared himself to a mother hen who gathers her brood under her wings for protection and shelter. I remember years ago reading an article in National Geographic that described the aftermath of a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park. Rangers trekked up the mountain to assess the damage, and one ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground at the base of a tree. Troubled by the eerie sight, he knocked the bird over with a stick. When he struck it, three tiny chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The mother, aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing the toxic smoke would rise. When the blaze arrived, the mother remained steadfast in order to save her children. Not a bear, not a lioness, but a fierce yet profoundly vulnerable mother bird who would do anything to save her chicks. And as we read this encounter through the lens of Luke's gospel, it seems as if Jesus chose this image and offered this lament for a particular reason, in hopes of persuading those who had previously been unpersuadable. It's interesting to note that this account is also found in Matthew, but much later in the gospel. In Matthew, Jesus had already come into Jerusalem, and this lament feels more like a pronouncement, very final. But in Luke, there's still a sense of time remaining. They're not in Jerusalem yet. They're not on the brink of Jesus' execution at that moment. There's still time for people to change their hearts, their minds, their words, their actions. In theological language, this is called repentance, one of the actions that's traditionally associated with the season of Lent. Repentance is about relinquishing the things that diminish us or others or the world around us and reaching out for that which affirms and supports life and love, justice and peace. Sometimes it's helpful to think about it as repointing our lives in new, helpful, and hopeful directions. That's the abundant life we talked about last week. Our Lenten theme this year, Full to the Brim, invites us to contemplate and live into the abundant life to which God invites us, the life God wants and intends for us. In our Wednesday study group this week, we talked about what that abundant life might and might not look like. We hear abundance and might think through a worldly lens about abundance of money or stuff, fortune or fame. But that is not the abundant life to which God calls us. Rather, God calls us to a life abundant in gentleness, in mercy, in compassion, in grace, and so much more. And what that looks like for each one of us might be very different. There's no one-size-fits-all abundant life. Perhaps we can think of it as each one living into our full potential as the people God created us uniquely and beautifully to be. Last week, we talked about repentance, leaning into that abundant life in terms of emptying out that which crowds out the Spirit of God within us. Our scripture passage for this week offers us another image, and that is simply allowing ourselves to be drawn into the Spirit of God that seeks to gather us like chicks are gathered by a mother hen. Not doing anything in particular, but allowing ourselves to be drawn into a place of shelter and protection and unconditional love. And why on earth would any of us not want that? Jesus lamented that Jerusalem resisted such gathering. Why would they? Why would we? Well, there are a lot of reasons, some of which might be quite familiar to us. And one of the biggest reasons, I think, is that it's sometimes hard to trust. It's hard to trust that God is a God of unconditional love if we haven't seen a lot of evidence of unconditional love in our everyday lives. If we have been wounded by people, by the world, and who among us hasn't been wounded? If we have been wounded, we might be inclined to pull away from rather than draw near to this promise of unconditional love. And it's painfully true that some people, many people, have been wounded not just by other people or by the world in general, but by the institution of the church itself, the very place and people that should be most trustworthy in reflecting the love of God in the world. As those affiliated with the church, we can never dismiss or lose sight of that. There are folks who understandably will never come back to even the semblance of organized religion because of the harm that's been done to them in body or in spirit. Harm done not by God, but by the people who claimed to represent God. There are many reasons people resist the notion of being gathered into God's unconditional love. I've told you some Fred Craddock stories before. He was a favorite and well-known preaching professor at Candler, where Les and I both attended, And he could tell a story like nobody's business. In one sermon, he told this rather quirky story about a family out for a leisurely drive on a Sunday afternoon. He said, suddenly the two children began to beat their father on the back. "Daddy, Daddy, stop the car. There's a kitten back there on the side of the road." The father said, "So there's a kitten on the side of the road. We're having a drive." "But Daddy, you have to stop and pick it up." "I don't have to stop and pick it up." "But Daddy, if you don't, it will die." "Well, then it will have to die. We don't have room for another animal. We have a zoo at the house already. No more animals." "But Daddy, are you just going to let it die?" "Be quiet, children. We're having a pleasant drive." We never thought our daddy would be so mean and cruel to let a kitten die. Finally, the mother turned to her husband and said, "Dear, you'll have to stop." He turned the car around, returned to the spot, and pulled off to the side of the road. "You kids stay in the car. I'll see about it." He went out to pick up the little kitten who was just skin and bones, sore-eyed and full of fleas. When he reached down to pick it up with its last bit of energy, the kitten bristled, baring tooth and claw. Hiss! He picked up the kitten by the loose skin at the neck, brought it back to the car, and said, "Don't touch it. It probably has leprosy." When they got home, the children gave the kitten several baths, about a gallon of warm milk, and said, "Can we let it stay in the house just tonight? Tomorrow we'll fix a place in the garage." The father said, "Sure, take my bedroom. The whole house is already a zoo." They fixed a comfortable bed fit for Pharaoh. Several weeks passed. Then one day the father walked in, felt something rub against his leg, looked down, and there was the cat. He reached down toward the cat, carefully checking to see that no one was watching. When the cat saw his hand, it didn't bare its claws and hiss. Instead, it arched its back to receive a caress. "Is that the same cat?" Craddock asked. "It couldn't be the same cat. It's not the same as that frightened, hurt, hissing kitten on the side of the road." "Of course not," Craddock said. "And you know, as well as I do, what made the difference." Repentance isn't always about doing something. We're reminded today that sometimes it's about accepting what God wants to do for us, despite anything and everything that the world has thrown at us. It's about trusting the best we can that God's love for us, whoever we are, however we are, is as fierce and as steadfast as a mother hen's, that God gathers us into that love, and that love, unconditional, trustworthy, true, has the power to change us, to transform us. In fact, it has the power to transform the whole world. This Lent, as we seek fullness of life for ourselves and for so many others, may we dare to move in a little closer to God, to one another, allowing ourselves to be drawn more and more into the shelter of God's unconditional and life-giving love and care. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's join in together. It's the affirmation of faith. The Lord is my light. The Lord surrounds me like a warm, familiar quilt in layers of grace. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the sturdy foundation and the roof over my head. I am not afraid. When the world is at its worst, when grief clings to my bones, when fear eats at my confidence,
when loneliness moves into my house, God sets the table, turns on the lights, and invites me to dance. So even though there are days that I feel like too much to bear, I know I am not alone. So I ask the Lord, I seek and I pray, let me live in your house all of my days. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of this day and for all of the people, things, and experiences that remind us of your goodness and grace. We pause to take a deep breath in this present moment, mindful of so much for which we are grateful. Continue to tune our senses to your divine and mysterious movement in the world, enabling us more and more to perceive all that is good, all that is kind, all that is life-giving within us and around us, all that is of you. Even as we lift up our thanksgiving, we are ever mindful of the worries and concerns that are so much a part of our lives. We seek your presence, healing, guidance, and grace for those who are hurting and struggling around us. There are those near and dear to our hearts who are enduring such difficult times. We hardly know how to pray, what to ask. Draw near, we pray, with all that is needed to sustain and encourage each one who is aching in body or spirit. We continue to bear witness to the atrocities of war and seek ways to make a difference for peace and for good. There is so much violence and destruction, so much loss and pain, we can hardly take it in. There are so many who have been uprooted from everything they know and love. We watch them scattered in fear, and we pray that they might be somehow gathered in by you. Shelter them, protect them, shield them. Gather the moms and the dads, the grandparents and aunts and uncles. Gather the children, the teenagers, the older children, the little ones who cling to their stuffed animals, and the wee tiny babies clutched tightly in the arms of their loved ones. Gather the elders who navigate treacherous paths on canes or in wheelchairs or simply lifted in the arms of others as they attempt to escape danger. Gather the pets, all the animals that are walked and dragged and carried through war-torn streets by families who couldn't bear to leave them behind. And for those who have lost their lives in this war, gather their spirits home, we pray, to you, to a place of peace and rest and final healing at the last. Thank you for the ways and times we have been gathered into your unconditional love. Thank you for continuing to invite us to make a way for us even when we resist that love. Grow our trust in you that we might know the steadfastness and integrity of the love you so persistently offer. Even as we learn to lean into that love, help us to create sheltering places for one another. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.